Well, good morning again. As we begin this morning, I have to say I've been doing some reading lately, and I know that's probably good, and it's not just been comic books or anything like that, but I've been doing some reading to challenge me and move me, and one of the things that has stuck out as I've done some reading is that there is a difference that consistently seems to happen between those who move forward in their life and those who often find themselves struggling. That it's weird, but it's kind of, you start to think, well, why is that? And the difference isn't found in intellect or intelligence. The difference is not found in talent and skills necessarily. It's not found in appearance. You know, we've all seen smart people who are miserable. We've all encountered talented people that are broke. We've also seen attractive people who can't hold a relationship. So in the grand scheme of things, those aren't the definers that help us move forward. And I think experience tells us and leads us to understand that the difference between the destination of here or there often boils down to decisions that we make. Because our decisions are incredibly and indescribably important. In fact, it's been said that the quality of your decisions determines the quality of your life. You make your decisions, and your decisions end up making you in different ways. The problem, though, is that most of us, myself included, are not very good at making decisions sometimes. We want to eat right, and then my wife buys banana split ice cream. That wasn't my decision. No. Sorry, I'm going to pay for that one. We want to be wise with money, but we decide to buy things that we really can't afford. We want to be wise with our words, but then we decide to say things that we often regret. We want to do the right thing, but we make decisions to do the wrong thing so often. We want to love the people around us, but unfortunately, sometimes our decisions end up hurting them instead. We want to be good decision makers, but the problem is most of us aren't, at least consistently. So I want to start with asking an important question that we can start to work through this morning is why is it that we struggle to make good decisions? Why do we want to do the right thing and then yet end up doing often the wrong thing? So why do we struggle to make decisions that help move us forward instead of regress? And then often I think it can come down to, and I'm sure there's other reasons, but I see at least three reasons. The first is that we're often overwhelmed with choices. Some studies show that we make upwards of 35,000 decisions a day. From the time that we get up to the time that we go to bed, you know, we begin to make all these decisions. Granted, not all of them are huge, but we start making all these little choices throughout the day. And what we find is that our decision-making process by the end of the day often gets pretty tired. In fact, cognitive science has termed the phrase decision fatigue. Essentially, what happens is that as the volume of decisions increase, the quality of the decisions tend to decrease. Because we're making so many decisions day after day, moment after moment, all day long, our decision-making process gets tired. And so that's why you make difficult and wise, as you make difficult and wise decisions at the day, throughout the, at the office. And then you come home. And you end up binging on stuff that you shouldn't be eating, like banana split ice cream. Or you make wise financial decisions one after the other, and you're saving and you're paying off debt and you're doing all the right things, and then you make some stupid purchase out of nowhere. We try to make good decisions, but because of the volume, sometimes the quality starts to decrease. The second reason or big problem of decision making is often we are afraid of making the wrong choices. And this is especially true for us as believers, as Christians, because we don't want to miss out on God's will. And so there are times where we'll overanalyze something. I call it paralysis by analysis. I mean, we start thinking about it. I'm not sure that that's the perfect school, or I'm not sure that that's the perfect job, or I'm not sure that this is the perfect person I'm supposed to be with. And since we aren't sure, sometimes we don't make any decisions at all. Which, in all reality, becomes a challenge, because an indecision often is actually a decision. And indecision is the enemy of progress. We can get so stagnant in trying not to do the wrong thing that we do nothing at all. And we become overwhelmed with the choices. We become afraid of making a wrong choice, but we also sometimes let emotions overrule logic. There's so many of us that struggle, and our decision-making process begins to break down. And it's interesting, because on some decisions, I mean, we, like I just said, we overanalyze. We spend so much time, do I do or do I not, this, the, that, all the different things. And then, you know, and that's with the things that don't really matter. And then we get to the things that really matter, and we make impulse choices. We let our emotions take over. We react in the midst of the moment. And it's often these emotional decisions that hurt us or hurt others the most. And that's why it's great advice for all of us that whatever we do, don't make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. Don't make decisions that are going to impact you for years to come based on the emotion that you feel in the midst of the moment. And this is important, because the quality of our decisions is key in determining the quality of our lives. And this isn't just a pep talk this morning, but what I'm finding, and the reason I especially want to share over the next several weeks this, is that one of the best ways for us to live a forward-looking, people-loving, God-glorifying life is for us to decide before what we will do later. One of the best spiritual tools that we can employ in our life is to decide now what we want to do later. It's the power of pre-decision. The power of choosing ahead of time, before you're in the midst of the moment, before the emotions are rolling. And our goal should be that with God's help, as followers of Christ, that we would ask God daily to help us make some important decisions, even ahead of time. to decide ahead of time that what we're going to do in the future so that we would honor God with our lives as we make those decisions daily. Proverbs 16:3 says that whatever you do, commit it to the Lord. If you're dating somebody, commit that relationship to the Lord. If you're married, commit your marriage to the Lord. If you're parenting, it's not a one-time thing before the church. It's a daily decision to commit that relationship and your child to the Lord. If you're making financial decisions, we commit that to the Lord. If you're making professional decisions, remember, you're not a Christian just on Sunday morning. You're a Christian wherever you are. So we make that decision and we give it to the Lord. We our friendship decisions, our relational decisions, our eating decisions, are committing everything to the Lord, because the scripture tells us that if we commit it to the Lord, that He will establish your plans. That even Jesus says it this way, that if we would seek Him first and His kingdom and His righteousness, then everything will be added to us as well. So we're instructed to commit this moment, this day, this week, this month, this year, this life, to the Lord. That as we seek God in our decisions, that He will help us so that we can pre-decide what we will do later. And here's how it plays out. And I'm really looking forward to this, to speaking into this over the next several weeks, because this is a very practical thing regardless of where we are in life. But with God's help, we're going to determine our course of action before the moment of decision. And it's going to look something like this, that whatever we're faced with the scenario, whatever it would be, that whether it's the question, should I look, should I buy, should I reach out to this person, should I respond, should I yell, should I do whatever, that whatever I'm faced with in the midst of these moments, that I have decided to take a certain action in my life. That we decide ahead of time with God's help and by the truth of His word that what we'll do in any given situation. Now, I understand lots of different things come up, but when we have these things in place, it helps guide us, because when you look at Scripture, there's lots of examples of God's people pre-deciding now what they will do when in the midst of the moment. In Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abraham, hey, I want you to go take your son and sacrifice him up on this hill that I'll show you. And Abraham looks on thinking, that's nuts. That doesn't sound like something I should be doing. I mean, I've been praying for this child all my life, and here he is, and nobody would go and do that. But at some point, Abraham, in his life, had decided that my God is always trustworthy. That so whatever God is going to ask me to do, I'm going to follow through and trust. I'm going to obey and honor Him. You look at Ruth. She's before Naomi. And she makes this extremely strong commitment as Naomi's about to leave and head home after the loss of her husband and sons. And Ruth makes this statement to Naomi that says, no matter where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And as that story plays out, you find Ruth adhering to that in every instance. Daniel was the king of predecision. He and his friends are taken hostage. They're part of the exile into Babylonian hands. And it's intended that among the brightest and the best in the land, that they would come into the Babylonian rule, and that they would be taught, that they would be indoctrinated to think the way the Babylonians think, to do the way, things the way the Babylonians do them, to eat the way they do. And all of that would have been dishonoring to the God of Israel. And so in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, we find this from the very outset of all of this, that Daniel resolved in his heart. We could say it that he had already decided, he had pre-decided not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He didn't wait until he got to the dining room to make that decision, when the pressure of everybody else, well, everybody else is doing it. He had already made the decision in his heart and in his head that he was going to live differently. He says that because of my faithfulness to God, I will not be weak in a future moment, because I've already pre-decided to honor God. Why is that? Well, it's because he knew who and what he valued. Which leads me to ask you, what is it that you value? Really, it comes down to that. What's the most important thing or things about you? I mean, when other people think about you, what is it that defines you? And you may wonder, well, why does that really matter? I don't care what other people think. Well, but the reality is we do. What is it that makes you you? What is the value that determines? Because the reason that this will help us is that because when we clearly determine our values, it helps set the path. And when your values are clear, your decisions are easier. When you know what you value, you can easily decide ahead of time that whenever I face the midst of this situation in the future, whatever that would look like, that I've already pre-decided on, based on God's word, based on the values that he has given me and I have put in my heart, that this is who I am and what I will do. And it plays out like this, because decisions determine direction, and direction determines destiny. Amen. That the end result is determined often by the little things that we do even before we realize we're getting there. Our unwise decisions tend to compound negatively. That one little bowl of banana split ice cream, it's not unheard of for it to become two bowls. But our wise, God-honoring decisions tend to compound in a positive and God-honoring way. So as we look at what we value, we should be asking ourselves, do the decisions that I am making on a regular basis reflect the values that I hold? If your life is moving in the direction of your decisions, do you like where it's taking you? One phrase I like to have is, we usually like to climb the ladder of success, but the problem is a lot of us get to the top of the ladder and we realize that it's on the wrong wall. Think on that. That's good country wisdom right there. If you don't like where it's going, then it's time to take your life back. It's time to decide to do things differently. That we would pre-decide that when I am in this situation, because of who my God is, and because of who he says I am, and because of what I value, that I'm not going to wait until I'm in the midst of that decision, in that situation, that I'm going to make decisions based on my emotions or whatever I'm feeling in the moment. That I'm going to predetermine that before I even ever get there, that when I'm faced with that, I'm going to do this because of who God is and who God tells me I am. Because those are the things I want to be known by in my faithfulness to the Lord. It's important to us because most of us deal in the midst of six negative qualities at times. I mean, I'm honest in this that there are times that I'm inconsistent. I want to be consistent. I want to start doing the right thing, but I get tired and I end up doing the wrong thing. Sometimes I'm unprepared. I have a spiritual enemy and his name is Satan. And Satan is attacking and he knows me well. And sometimes my guard is down. I can also be unintentional. Instead of being proactive and prayerful and intentional about my decisions, sometimes I let life come at me rather than coming at it for the glory of God. And I hate to say it, but as a result, sometimes I'm selfish. I don't want to be, but I am. I start thinking about, well, what's in it for me? But another problem is sometimes I can be short-sighted. Sometimes I'll do what feels good in the midst of the moment, not thinking about the consequences that happen. Most of your parents, you've encountered this with your child who decides to lie to you. And they never can hold the lie. You know better. They know better. But we encounter this throughout life. We start to do these things and don't think about where it's going to go. And then sometimes when things get tough, we tend to quit. We give up. And all those things, as we play into those kind of qualities, tend to hand us and send us down the wrong way that we didn't intend to be. You know, it's all good intention, but if you don't have the follow through, none of that usually matters. So this morning, I want to compel you, as we go through these next 6 weeks, that I want to compel you, I'm going to beg you, I'm going to try and motivate you, that whatever it takes, that you would be a part and experience with us these teachings, because we're going to get practical. We're going to focus on making six predetermined decisions based on the values of who God says we are, because when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. That when your values are clear, your decisions become easier. So when you know where we're vulnerable to those six different qualities, that we're going to predecide that we're actually instead these things, these six good things. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead and give you a snapshot of what we're going to do over the next 6 weeks. First of all, the devil attacks. We're not going to go into life unprepared. We're going to be on our guard. We're going to watch and we're going to pray and we're going to be ready. When it's easy to be inconsistent, where we can be on one day and off the next day, with help of God, we are going to find ourselves and declare that we are going to be consistent in our faith and walk to God. That in a world where people often stray from God because they lose their passion, they lose their focus, and the devil tempts them and us to take God for granted, that we wouldn't be students of his word, that we wouldn't use our life to glorify him all the time, that instead we are going to be devoted to God. In a world that tends to be selfish, We're going to be God-honoring. We're going to choose ahead of time that what I have belongs to God. And I'm going to be generous. We're going to decide ahead of time that in a world where unfaithfulness seems to be the norm, that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are not the norm. Because if you haven't noticed, normal isn't working. But instead, we are going to be faithful to the one who is faithful to us. And finally, Jesus said on the cross, I did everything that the Father has sent me to do, and he declared, it is finished. And so in the same way, we are going to honor God with excellence. We're not going to back down. We're not going to back off. We're not going to walk away. In fact, we're going to become finishers. We're in it for the long haul. And so with God's help, and I understand this is a weird sermon, but I really need us to grasp where we're going over the next 6 weeks. We're going to pre-decide because we are not what the world says we are. We're not what the devil says we are. We are not what we did in the past. We're not what anybody else thinks about us. We are who God declares we are, that we are his. So I'm inviting you for the next 6 weeks to step in and press into the goodness of God. That we would let God's word go deep into our hearts. That it would burn with the values of the kingdom of God and not the values of this world. So that when you know who you are, you will know where you're going. That you would predetermine who you are because you know who you are. That you'll know what to do. And the world honestly needs us to start becoming and being the light shining God's faithfulness to it. So it's time to do it, church. Paul writes in Philippians that we are to be like stars shining in the midst of a dark and depraved world. That we are called to be faithful representatives of Christ. And God is doing a new thing. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. God is doing a new thing. So would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, begin a new thing in us. Stir your church. Give us wisdom, God, that just like these, not just Old Testament characters, but these people that were devoted followers of you, decided in their heart to do what you have called them to do, to be who you'd call them to be. Help us to serve you no matter what, to commit everything that we are to you. That in the end, when we are faced before you, God, holy and on our knees before your holiness, that you would declare, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because we are not who the world says we are. But we are who you have declared us to be. Forgiven, God-honoring followers of Christ. That because of his gift, because of the gift of salvation, that we can have eternal life and live into that in thankfulness. And so God, move us as we continue over the following weeks. Move us even now to declare today, this day, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.